Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I'm not really too much worried about the time. I'm going to do a little cutting and pasting on my sermon because God spoke some things to me. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And the impacting of this message today has already been kind of reshaped and reframed through some of the things that Pastor Chuck shared about missions, about reaching out, about getting out of your comfort zone, that type of thing. It's going to be pretty amazing. Verses 1 through 14, the responding verses you will read on the screen behind you. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. So Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and the lad and I will go yonder and worship and we will come back to you. But Isaac spoke to Abraham and his father and said, my father, and he said to him, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Well, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Verse 18 together. And the ram was in place. The Lord will provide. And it is known to this day. In the mouth of the Lord it shall be provided. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's something you want to say to us prophetically today. And Lord, it doesn't even surround a lot of the things I've gathered for this message today, but you'll take the parts that you want to use, and Lord, I'm so surrendered to that. But Lord, there are people in this room today. Their lives will be changed forever if they are willing to offer the best offering unto you. Lord, there's things about us and things about myself that, Lord, I didn't really realize until just a few moments ago when it just came so pointedly into view when these two young people standing on this platform today said, you know what? I know it's going to be tough. I know it's going to be hard to leave mom and dad, but I'm going to go and do what Jesus wants me to do. Lord, that statement to us today is going to cause us to kind of reevaluate some of the things we put our hopes and dreams in. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you be the teacher today, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and glory if we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that we have found, and whether you take any note of pop history or culture, whatever it happens to be, they call this the now generation. And there's reasons why they do that. It's because everything happens kind of instantaneously because of their fixation upon the ability or the inability to wait for anything. They want it now. And we have people that go to Starbucks and they go sideways when their drink isn't made exactly the way they want. You know, I wanted two extra squirts of caramel, not one. I mean, it's catastrophe. But I want it now. The intoxicative result of information at one's fingertips or voice command, however, is highly overrated when it comes to God. Because when he speaks forth his will, it's never to be put to deliberation, delay, or scrutiny of what we seem to think is reasonable or convenient. That's what we do with God. I will when, I will if. I'll get to that later. He has defined now to mean that everything we do from the moment we receive his direction must be in direct alignment with his purpose. That part that really stung me in my spirit was the fact that everything we do from the point we hear the word now, after that, is not a time for us to deliberate with excuses, but it means that we need to be moving into action in exactly what he told us to do. I can go through the Bible and tell you all the worst verses of it now, but let me give you these three questions and we'll just kind of proceed from there. What part of now do you try to modify to accommodate your own plans or convenience? I was raised in a household and some of you had a household like that, that kind of household was dying out. When they said, come in right now. What did now mean? Didn't mean another round of baseball. Go around, play with your friends. It meant right now. And if you decided that now was not when you wanted now to be, you needed to adjust the way you were thinking. I'm not going to marinate on that, but I think you know what I'm talking about, okay? Number two, have you convinced yourself that grace will cover your disobedience of not responding to God when he tells you to do something? I'm going to leave that alone because I could launch that one, okay? Number three, have you identified where your obedience to God shifted from love to obedience of duty? That's an attack on religion. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you came to church today just because it's Sunday. Come on. You came because it's Sunday. Or you came because somebody in your rooter group might call you if you didn't make it. The love factor sometimes gets lost in the fact of the duty factor. But I believe that there's a love relationship that God desires for us to have with him that just surpasses all this other stuff. I'm going to move right into where we're going. God desires that we surrender our lives to him once and for all. Romans 12:1. You probably should. Some of you know it by heart. But I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. So how do you know that? Because that scripture works on me. Because it says right in this, this just kind of qualifies it, that by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then the part that will mess you up is that word called holy. Or that part that says acceptable to God. There is a discrepancy between which God deems as acceptable and our acceptability. Which is your reasonable service of worship. In other words, it's just very simple. I'm going to go off my notes just for a moment. I'll come back to you guys. If I get back to you, fine. If I don't worry about it. The first verse that we read is kind of a telling verse of really what this whole story is about. Because in Genesis chapter 22, the verse, it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. What things are they talking about? These things. It's talking about life. And if you'll allow me to summarize, because I don't have time to go into all the scriptures I was going to read, summarize Abraham's life. Abraham did not do everything well. Even though he was a father of our faith, he was a liar. Oh, yes, he was. Well, a fair ID lied. She's my sister. You know why he did that? To save his hide. Because he figured, she's my sister. You do whatever you need to do. He was trying to save himself. Then, as a result of, a promise that God had given to Abraham, it went like this. He says, from your loins, there's going to be a father, a person who's going to produce. As far as the sands of the sea, you're going to be amazed. All these things are going to happen, and you're going to have a son, and blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't happen in his time frame. But I want to let you know, sister girl helped him out. His wife. Abraham, you're getting old. Why don't you take my handmaiden and help yourself? I'm going to try to be appropriate. And he does. And his handmaiden produces a son. And the son's name is Ishmael. Now, for those of you who don't understand what's happening in the Middle East, a lot of the Middle East kids from Ishmael are the ones that are coming after the other folks. And Abraham started that whole thing with his disobedience many thousands of years ago. I'm going to teach on that one day. Really? That's what really happened? But it didn't look like that when it really happened. It was a good idea. How many of your good ideas have ever gone sideways on you? Come on, work with me, people. Everybody's hand ought to be raised right now. I'm going to try to keep you from going to hell. Because, baby, it didn't work out like you thought it was. But it felt good, it looked good, it seemed good, but it was no good. But remember, the Bible said after these things, he had to go through all this stuff. And then the real test came. Do you realize everything you've gone through up until now is just a part of the process of God getting you to the place where you're ready to stop fighting what he's doing in your life? Amen. Everything you've gone through is for a reason. Now, some of you aren't going to like this, and frankly, I don't care. Some of you feel that divorce was the worst thing that ever happened to you. And there's pain and there's a lot of hard things that happen in divorce. But you know, for some of you, you never should have gone there in the first place. Oh, I know, I'm going to get some mail now. And you feel like, no, tell the truth. But in spite of that, God is not through with you. Because after all these things, after all those decisions, God is still going to give you an opportunity to say yes to his plan for your life. After all these things. Because frankly, After some of the things that Abraham did, so I would have kicked him to the curb, saying, I'm going to find me somebody better than this, because this don't even look good. I've written this stuff down. People will say, really? I'll take it. It means I'm going to the junk heap. After all these things, God tested Abraham. And this is like the final exam. It's the one that you cannot repeat. It's the one that will control your destiny to see whether or not you're going to get to the place where God has always intended to take you. And that being the case, it says here that and God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and there's three words that God wants to hear from you today. Here I am. In spite of what I've done, in spite of what I've said, in spite of what I did last night, in spite of what I did last week, in spite of what's in my pocket or in my car or wherever it is. You think I couldn't pull you out of the crowd? I can pull some of you out of there. You got stuff. But when you get home, or when you feel a little nervous, it'll kind of take the edge off. And he said these words, "Here I am," because there was something about the resonance of God's voice at that particular point that was different than what he'd heard before. The call on Abraham's life had to endure the supreme test of obedience, and obviously he went through that. But consider this. We will only find out what we really believe about our relationship with God when we are put in a place where our understanding cannot process what we know God said for us to do. Let me read that again. Let's see. You can put it up there for them. When we get to the place where our understanding cannot process what God said for us to do. But in spite of that, something shifted in Abraham. Because the words that follow this, he says, and he said to him, "Take now your son, your only son, Isaac." Now, wait a minute. What about Ishmael? That's important. Abram had a son named Ishmael. There were problems that went on, that whole thing. But the point of it is, regardless of what he'd done, brought this kid into the world, and it's not that God hated Ishmael. It wasn't Ishmael's fault that he got here. And by the way, some of you folks got issues. Hey, you know, this type of thing. You know, every child that's on this planet, God knew they were coming. He knew all of them were coming. But the fact of the matter is, there was the son that God recognized. He says, "Your only son." The reason why he said only is this is the son that I told you I was going to give you in the first place. And this is the son of promise that I know at this particular point, and here's the part where he separates, is the one, only, your only son whom you love. This is a time when God is going to separate or allow Abraham to get victory over now another opportunity or another thing that's happened in his life where he has an attachment to something that he produced, his son, the son of his old age, the son that he had with Sarah. He says, "That's the one I want. The one you produce in the flesh, no big deal. I want that one." The Holy Spirit's going to put his finger on some things in your life today that you can try to pretend, you can try to fake it all you want to, but you're going to be uncomfortable until with a final amen, because God's going to put a finger on some things in your life that you are holding up against his will in your life when God says, "That one thing that you love, I want it today." My title was today, if you didn't get it, is "Now is the only time acceptable." We've heard acceptable time, but I put it a little bit of reverse on it. Now is the only time acceptable. There's no bargaining. There's no haggling with it. Well, he's stating the fact, it's the son he loved, and seeing all these other particular things go along with it. And so the issue behind this is that there's a lot of things that occurred, but here's the word that we've used this particular phrase in one of our worship songs. "Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God." Doesn't that sound lovely? "You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, wonderful to me." Shut up. And I hope I hurt your feelings. Because unless you really mean it, just let it go. Because you're going to find out in these next few verses, in these next few minutes, what worship is really all about. It's leaving something at the altar that you don't get to take back with you. There's one thing that we have, that all of us have in equal proportions. There is no person here that gets 25 hours in a day. We all get 24. How you use them is up to you. But the fact that God has bestowed that blessing upon each and every one of us, when we choose to worship God, we have an opportunity at any particular given time as to how we're going to allot that particular day and who we're going to apportion it to. So this being the case, we'll find out that there's some things that are not promised to us. I want to take you to James chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. We only have today. Tomorrow is not promised to us. Here we go. James. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I'm not a fatalist, but I'm a realist. And I want to tell you, as my odometer is ticking, I'm finding out that I'm on the short side of going the other direction. 10, 15, 20 years maybe. But here's the point that I believe that he's saying why now is so important. Because the call on Abraham's life had to endure the supreme test of obedience and allow God to really put his focus on what's really happened in your life at this point. We must, number one, cultivate a walk with God where we know his voice with certainty. Now remember, in this particular place, there's no room for error. Because what he's saying is take your son and sacrifice him on a mountain that I'm going to show you. Now, the reason why that's difficult is Israel was not prone to have human sacrifice. Matter of fact, that was totally against what God ever did. And so for him to hear a word like that, he says, take my son and sacrifice him on a mount, which I'll show you. But I'm going to unlock it through the scripture that's there without having to insert anything in there to show you the key of why he was able to respond with faithfulness unto God. But that fact is, he cultivated a walk with God that Abraham was not surprised God would request of him what he cherished the most. Here's a question for you. What do you cherish the most? Now, some of you are silly. I had that car since I was a teenager. And you ain't gonna let go of your 1957 Chevrolet? That's your baby. You're a clown. No, but some people really are attached to stuff. And I just said that just as a byproduct. It kind of sets you up for what I really want to tell you. That when God asks for something, we have not truly worshiped the Lord until we have offered him a sacrifice, not only this irreplaceable, and the one thing that's irreplaceable in our life is time.
That's good, Pastor. That's good.
You can't add a minute to your life. Now some of us say, oh, you know, I'm a multitasker. You're a knucklehead. I can do three things at the same time. Really? And oh, I do them well. That's your perspective. Ask us what we think. We think you're out there. We do not have the luxury of selecting the time frame of our worship. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Why is that word rebellion kind of inserted there? Because it almost seems like it's out of context. Like in the rebellion, what was the rebellion? Well, you fill in that blank with anything that you could insert there that would justify you doing things in your own time frame. I'll get to it later. Later never comes. Matter of fact, resuming upon later, we find ourselves in a very precarious position. When we are hard in our heart, we are rebelling against the Lord. Regardless of our heartache and grief, we must trust God who has given us a promise of himself. We must pursue our sacrifice early in the morning. And this is the next place I'm going to take you to. So in verse 3, it says this. And so he says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took his two young men with him and Isaac, and they split the wood and et cetera, et cetera. And they went off to the place God showed him. You know what this says? Whatever is first in your life is what dominates your life. Early in the morning, will I rise up and seek thee, was the confession of David. He said, and here's the people, I'm not a morning person. See me about 10 o'clock and I'm okay. I'm just not a morning person. So I don't see in the text here, he says, you know, God, I'd be glad to do that. Could we do that around about 9:30 after I had coffee, donut? Well, here's a piece I think that will really continue is in our worship of sacrifice unto the Lord. The gift of God had become more important than God himself. And so this is a reason why I believe that this whole dialogue occurred. And it was for Abraham's benefit. It wasn't for God's benefit. It was for Abraham. And so his response, as we go a little bit further here, he says, and so he split the wood, and on the third day they get to the place, and he says, and lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. But here's verse 5, and I hope I can cement this and etch this into your heart, into your spirit, because this is the crux of what really happens. This is where your faith will be built up to the point where you realize that God is not out to ruin you or to destroy you. So God's just picking on me. He just wants me to be miserable. Nothing's ever worked out in my life. And just throughout the time I'm going to be successful, God just wants to take everything away. Really? Or could it be this? And when Abram said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship. This is his frame of thinking. God is demanding of me or requiring of me a worship that is so pure, that is so from the heart, that I cannot refuse him. Amen. Now, here's another way of looking at it too. Remember, it was only God that was able to supply him the ability to have the son in the first place. He was past his prime, and so was Sarah. By the way, let me insert this to you. I really don't think that Abraham told Sarah what he was up to. I really don't. Because after what she pulled with Hagar and this type of thing, she says, you ain't taking my baby nowhere. You have lost your mind. Abraham, no, you're going to see a shrink or somebody, but my baby ain't going with you nowhere. Okay? Hear me. Sister said it. I believe he told her the same thing that he told these men. He says, yeah, our son and I, we're going to go up to the mountain, we're going to worship, and we'll be back in a few days. Do you know why? Because he had faith in God, that God had told him something, and you know what? He may have lied, but God never lied to him. God said, through this young man, everything, all your dreams, all of your hopes, many nations are going to come forth. And however God going to do it, he said, I don't know, but I know what he told me, and he hasn't failed me yet, and I'm going to believe God rather than circumstances. But the problem is, I panic. It couldn't be God. And I know I don't know whether you've done it before. I've cried a river. Oh, God, this is so difficult. And I just get, you know, and God let us vent our emotions. Yeah. Because we're emotional people. But he's not going to change his word. Your emotions are no match for God's providence. True worship will free us from everything that will take our focus off the Lord. And so he goes on with this particular thing, verses 22, verses 5 through 8. Read those real quickly. Verse 22, verses 5 through 8. I think you have those up for us. And I'm just about ready to come to halt on this. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here and we'll come back to you. Okay. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. You know why he did that? Because he's old. Okay. Okay. He just wanted to help you with that. He took the fire in his hand and a knife. Now, he can handle that. A little fire, a little knife. Wood, no, he ain't going to do that. Okay. And the two of them went off together. But Isaac spoke to his father and he said, my father. Go on to the next verse here. And he said to him, here I am, my son. He said, look, the fire, the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Read this verse with me. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. God will provide for himself. I want to rip all the fear off of you and all the things about what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't happen? What if everything just goes up in smoke as far as this is concerned? I want to tell you, God has already made provision.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
He's already worked it out. I'm almost there, so hang with me just for a few more minutes. Now is the time to build an altar of sacrifice. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, because this is where we're at. We're at that particular stage. Mark is just amazing. Now as he was going on down the road, one man came running to him and knelt before him and asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And so Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? There's none good but that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to the teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth up. And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, first of all, just hold it right there for a moment. Everything Jesus does for you is out of love. God has never and never will do anything to hurt you. It's always out of love. And so Jesus loved him and he looks at him and he says, this is what I'm about to say to you. He didn't have to announce. He says, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Come take up the cross and follow me. Now here's what's interesting. This is before Jesus went to the cross. Did you ever think about that? Well, no, I never thought about that. He's saying, take on my identity and follow after me. But he was sad at his word, and he went his way sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I'm just about done. But in spite of kneeling at the feet of Jesus, inquiring about eternal life, he was not willing to truly worship Jesus. Remember, he's at Jesus' feet. He's kneeling there. Master, what can I do to attain eternal life? He tells him, he says, Don't ask a question unless you're willing to hear the real answer. Jesus' response to the ruler was totally out of love, because here's the thing, God don't need your stuff. God desires for you to discover what your real treasure is. We will discover true worship when we value the cross of sacrifice over worldly comfort. I'm going to skip through that. But until we are willing to offer God our best, we will not understand what worship is truly all about, and that means we must build an altar of prayer able to support that which we are giving to the Lord. Build it. We must use the kindling of truth to purify our sacrifice. We must kill everything that will come between us and our focus on the one who deserves everything that we treasure. Worship team, come back here. We're about ready to close. Here's the last little phrase I'm going to leave with you. Until we raise the knife of death toward what we thought we could never live without, we will not discover God's provision and protection. And this is huge. And I'll read you this last little scripture and we're done. But this is right at the point when everything that he'd worked for, everything he loved so dearly, is about ready to be destroyed by his own hand. And so he took the knife and he displayed his son, and the angel of heaven said, Abraham, Abraham, he says, here I am. He says, do not lay your hand on the child or do anything, for I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your son from me. Now here's the part. Now listen very carefully here. When Abraham lifted his eyes and looked behind him, God has something behind you that you haven't even seen. Remember, all of Abraham's problems that caused him trouble were behind him. Now the thing to solve all of his problems is what God provided, and it was behind him. God has made provision to take care of every mistake, every purposeful misstep that you've ever made. He's made atonement for that. When you are willing to take that which is so dear to you and put it at the altar, God says, I made provision for you. And behind him was a ram in the thicket, and that's what will be sacrificed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, every. There was something so powerful, and it doesn't seem like it was that powerful when Pastor Chuck was just sharing the various opportunities of interceding for those who are really seeking to bring folks into the kingdom. I need to tell you today that the sovereign God has appointed you to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him. And every hindrance, every mistake you've ever made, he's atoned for with his blood. The now, after all of these things that Abraham had gone through, God says, the final test, the final exam is before you, Abraham. I want you to take the thing that is the last thing that's between you and me, the son you love so much, I want you to offer him up to me. As much as you can, I want you to isolate everything else, whether it's your husband or your wife, so that I'm not saying you shut them out of your life, but just for this moment, would you allow yourself just to get alone with Jesus and ask him this one question? Lord, what is the one thing that I've held in place of you that you want me to remove? And you know what? He'll show you. And to be honest with you, I haven't done you a great service, because if you decide today, well, I'll deal with that tomorrow, I'm not ready to deal with it today, I got to repeat to you, the subject today is now.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.